for the...
If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
Sean Sears just wanted to hear some Take Me Out to the Ball Game, sung by your very own Gabe Ramirez. It's a moment
who'd
that would live.
Who'd you have him for again? Who was he?
I was rooting in my brain. Microphone went out to the crowd, so I let them do the singing during that part.
See, that's smart. That's a veteran move there by you.
It is very much a veteran move. All right, we're going to be talking about, I guess you can call him a veteran. He's had his fair share of years with the Seattle Seahawks, Kobe Bryant. Be talking about him in just a second. Definitely going to be taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you all the way to 5 o'clock. That's when Dustin Rhodes takes over with the pregame show. Sheesh. The story there goes. The PR people for the Cubs walk in. I'm filling in for Zach Zabman, who's filling in for Ron Coomer. And we're at Wrigley, and they're like, hey, you guys are singing the seventh inning stretch today. And they're talking to Ron, they're talking to Pat and Zach Zabman. And Pat looks at me and goes, Gabe, you know, guys are singing the seventh inning stretch today. And I was like, yeah, you guys are crazy. And then I thought to myself, you know what? This is never going to happen again. And then I look at Pat and I was like, hey, Pat, you know, usually I say no to, you know, I was serious about it. Usually I don't do that, but if it's cool with you, man, I really would like to do it. He's like, no, absolutely. You're definitely doing it. Get you a mic and everything. And sure enough, I had the mic sitting there. And then, you know, my allegiance is to the White Sox. Never in a bajillion years would I ever say root, root, root for the team that plays on right here on 104.3 The Score. But I wanted to be respectful to Pat and respectful to the Cubs, so I sang it. And then when it came to that part, I did what any Cubs fan would do when they're singing that. They stick the microphone out, Sean. So that's
Gabe kind of carried the show.
He did.
I mean,
what a voice.
Was I in a singing group back in the day? Not just playing. It was great. That was great. But no, the point of the story is that Pat didn't have to do that. And I've had two run-ins with two legends, and that is Pat Hughes and Chuck Swirsky, and both were gracious enough to allow me to share time and space with them when they didn't have to. I think that's the key point there. Pat didn't have to let me sing the seventh inning stretch. He could have just did it with Zach Zabman. He was very fortunate to do that. The other day when I was filling in for Alyssa and Bill Wennington didn't show up, Chuck didn't have to let me do a little bit of color and say a couple of things. So just, we have great people working on this station, right? Not only are they great voices, but also great humans that are very kind to those that work with them. And I'm very appreciative for that. And I'm very appreciative as well for, of course, my guys, Spiegel and Holmes, because they were on top of it today. Right as the Bears signed Kobe Bryant from the Seattle Seahawks, they went and began to chat with Ben Solak, who is an NFL analyst. And he had some interesting things to say, not only about the Bears with Kobe Bryant, but also where he wanted the Bears to focus on left tackle, whether it was in the draft or free agency. Talked about Tyson Bagent, too. I want to play a couple of clips for you just so you guys can hear this. But first, you know, we were talking with Jamal, not Damar, and he was talking about...
My bad, Jamal.
It's all good. And we were talking about whether or not Jaquan Brisker would come back. But Ben Solak thinks there's a possibility that Kevin Byard is the one that comes back with the Chicago Bears.
My guess is he'll play more in the box. Now, this is a combo player, right? The value and the attraction of this guy is that he can do everything for you, right? So if you want to play him deep middle, you can play him deep middle. He's not the rangiest guy. He's not going to cover ground the way Byard covers ground, but he can get it done. I say I like him better in the box because the thing he does best is play from depth. We talk about coming downhill, right? Being able to, you know, trigger on the screens and on the quick throws. He has a lot of throws at or near the line of scrimmage because of how fast he is downhill. The Seahawks would, you know, fit the run a lot by asking him to kind of drive and be the last player in the box. And he made a lot of those tackles while coming downhill. Very, I think, impactful tackler, a lot of stopping power, right? Don't get a lot of dirty yards after contact when it comes to Kobe Bryant. So my guess is going to be that he plays more in the box. But Dennis Allen wants to be a DC going back to his Saints years that has combo safeties, that has two guys who can do everything. And last year, just because of Brisker's skill set and Byard's skill set, you saw them be a little bit more free safety and strong safety, a little bit more deep middle safety and box safety. And so I would guess that if they're sticking with bringing one of their safeties back, it's Byard and then Bryant plays in the box. But you also might see them just go for two new safeties completely and try to be a lot more kind of versatile and multiple between those two players.
And that's exactly what I think is going to happen. Ben Solak talking with Spiegel and Holmes earlier today about Kobe Bryant, the most recent addition from the Seattle Seahawks, and what his role will be with the Chicago Bears. And when looking at this team, the priority for Ryan Poles was to upgrade certain roster spots. You knew they were coming off the books, but how were you going to replace them? Laterally? No, I think you saw the defenses in the Super Bowl and how elevated they were. And I've mentioned this before, despite what I think about the Bears secondary, and I think it's damn good, right? Jalen Johnson, Tyreek Stevens, Nashawn Wright, Kevin Byard, Jaquan Brisker. I thought that was really good. But when you watch the Super Bowl, you realize like your guys were good, but there's levels to this. And I think the Bears are trying to get to the next level. So I love what Ben Solak said about putting in Kobe Bryant. So, because Dennis Allen wants more of the dual safety so that he can, again, I mean, you saw it last year. It's predicated on deception. Third down, everybody at the line. We don't want you to know who's coming. And if you have two safeties that can take on either role, you can then disguise your coverage even more. Because if one player's in the box and can draw back or vice versa, it's just going to add more to the element of surprise. Now, Ben also talked specifically about the newest safety addition for the Chicago Bears and Kobe Bryant, and tried to find a comp across the NFL. And Bears fans might not be happy with the team he selected.
Kobe okay. and Evan Williams are extremely similar stylistically, where both these guys are very high impact safeties against the run. And specifically, we're not talking about, you know, Nick Imanwari, Kyle Hamilton types who already lined up 2 inches off the line of scrimmage to begin with. We're talking about guys who initially are lined up 12 yards off the ball. And then as the ball is being snapped, they're moving to 10, they're timing the snap. As the run's getting handed off, they're moving to 6. It's challenging to come downhill and read at the same time. But if you're going to live in a too high world, you need to have a player who's capable of fitting into the box late and then also adjusting where he fits relative to the run, right? If people do those two things at once. Evan Williams is one of the pinnacle examples of a player who can do this. And the reason why Ben lauds him so much, because as offensive play caller, it sucks to deal with that guy. Because what are you going to, you can't line up as an offensive line and point, okay, somebody go get the dude 14 yards off the ball. Like, you don't know he's actually coming down or not. And so he gets added late in the math after the ball is snapped, and it's hard to account for him. But what Kobe does, like there's a tackle against Puka Nacua on a jet sweep. There's a little tight end screen to Juwan Johnson against the Saints. He has another one on a Brian Thomas Jr. screen. What he does coming downhill, reading plays, and then going and being the additional fitter, extremely fast, is very reminiscent of Evan Williams. So that's the exact sort of vibe you're looking for.
Not necessarily the team you wanted him to compare him to, obviously Evan Williams from the Packers, but you love the skill set that he's describing. If you can imagine a Kyler Gordon, Kobe Bryant duo that is responsible for stopping bubble screens, sweeps, I mean, that's what you want. Guys that can close the gap quickly and not miss tackles. I was pointing it out earlier. Kobe Bryant, 6.7% miss rate, which is what Sean Sears pointed out, is elite in the NFL if it's 5 to 7%. So again, getting better, but how are you getting better? You're getting younger, you're getting faster. That's if you're replacing Kevin Byard. Jaquan Brisker obviously playing at a high level, but the assumption is that you can go out and draft somebody who can find their way into that role. That can be a dual, but you know, you might get a second round pick that's a safety. Do not be surprised by that. Now, of course, the Bears, you wouldn't be surprised if they got a left tackle either, because these are the positions of need still, right? The holes that still exist. You signed Braxton Jones. You still got Karan Amagaji, Theo Benedict, but the hole exists there. And Ben Solak, NFL analyst speaking with Spiegel and Holmes, talked about how he'd prefer the Bears to address that left tackle position.
I would like for them to be able to fill that with a veteran and plug and chug it, even if it is a one-year deal, simply because Caleb's took such an astronomical leap from his rookie year to his sophomore year in terms of pressure to sack rate and his play against pressure, right? I don't need to tell you guys, in 2024, anytime he was pressured, it was a disaster. In 2025, anytime he was pressured, he was a magician, right? I mean, he went from like worst to first in terms of how he played when pressured. I do not want to so quickly challenge that improvement with bad play on the blind side. You know, I don't want to test that so quickly. Oh yeah, we're fine now. Caleb makes everything work. I'd like for still to, you know, feel better about my play at that position. It also was the case last year. If you go and you look at the numbers, you know, pre-buy to post-buy, when they made the switch, you know, Benedict and then Trapeo, Braxton Jones, they're trying to figure out left tackle. They ran the ball off the right side a lot more than they ran off the left side, and a lot more successfully off the right side than they did off the left side. Like that Rams game in the first half, I think it was like 9 out of 11 of their carries went off the offensive right. Darnell Wright is such a weapon for you, but you're also hiding your left tackle. And teams are going to get wise to that if you walk into that with next year. And so I would want to get your mid-tier veteran options. I would be okay with a Taylor Decker one-year thing. I'm not kidding about the Trent Williams. To me, like, that makes a lot of sense.
Neither am I. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, to me, I go veteran left tackle, and then maybe you go for a guy in the draft. I would say it's a good year for developmental tackle prospects. It's not a good year for like plug and chug starters. And you already have a guy in Trapeo who you're trying to develop there as he comes off the injury. And so, to me, veteran is the move.
That was Ben Solak talking to Spiegel and Holmes, and I love the notion. You see, Lowe was on board with it too, and that's adding the veteran left tackle. You got younger developmental people there already with Karan, with Theo, and with Braxton. Braxton's not developmental. You know what you got in him. But when you're looking at the left tackles that are available, I mean, obviously Taylor Decker being one of them, who the AAV, according to SpotRack, is $21 million. But he'd probably be like a two-year $40 million deal or something like that because he's older. Cam Robinson from Cleveland, oof, we know what troubles they had, but still left tackle nonetheless, proven commodity there. They got him at around 13. And everybody else is just, you know, younger guys that are not necessarily, you know, going to be better than what you have. So for that, you might as well go out and draft someone if that's going to be the case. So there's still, and then wait, Rashid Walker. I'm sure they're going to try to shore him up, though, so that'll be something there. But you love what he's saying about the team, and that's that you have pieces there. You know where you need to upgrade. You can do both. Again, you can never have enough bodies on the offensive line. The Bears have proven that year in. I mean, last year they were healthy, luckily. But towards the tail end of that season, look how it fell apart for them, especially at the left tackle position. So bringing in more bodies, bringing in a veteran presence, if the dollars make sense, and you feel like that's where they need to be allocated, then so be it. But maybe you end up with more money because you move on from not only your cap casualties like Tremaine Edmonds. I know I've been preaching for the Cole Kmet cut to save another eight, but the Bears like him. I get it. I am going to get on my soapbox about that for a second. If I were to show you a guy like Cole Kmet and whatever, the situations were different. If I were to show you his productivity, I cannot believe Bears fans are just okay with this. Like, I have Bears fans calling the show when I do overnights to complain about Jalen Johnson, to complain about guys that are making dollars. And here's Cole Kmet, super underperforming. You're like, oh, yeah, you know, it's okay now because Colson Loveland's here. What? We're justifying a guy's performance based off of somebody else that's here? Anyway. Whew, let me start. There's ways to save money, and one of them can be trading Tyson Bajent. Obviously, the Bears gave him a contract, and there are QB needy teams out there. Malik Willis out here starting for the Dolphins. I'm sure they were one of the teams that called. But Ben also talked about the chances the Bears trade Tyson Bajent to a different team.
I've heard the same thing that everybody's heard, which is that the teams have called the Bears about Bajent. The Bears value Bajent quite highly, and there's a big delta right now between what the Bears want and what teams are willing to offer. Now, as more teams get as more teams lose out, I should say, in the free agent cycle for quarterbacks here, you see a team like the Jets. If the Jets can't add a young passer somewhere, right? Okay, they're going to start making the trade calls. Anthony Richardson, Tyson Bagent, Tanner McKee, Spencer Rattler, Will Levis. You know, teams are looking for young quarterbacks right now. A lot of these, the veteran options are the Kirk Cousins and the Geno Smiths, who are some older options. So once Kyler makes his choice and we kind of see where the quarterback market falls, you can see a couple more teams getting a little bit more desperate for bringing in a young quarterback to compete for the QB1 job, right? The Cardinals can make a trade for a lower tier guy, like I said. The Jets can. The Browns can still make a trade for a guy on a rookie contract. Bagent, though, is older, right? He's already approaching his extension. And to me, like, I would anticipate other teams are more willing to move off their guys than the Bears are willing to move off of Bagent, because the way the Bears seem to value it is Bagent is QB2, is the actual guy that they want, you know, in the event that Caleb's hurt for an extended period of time and they think they can go 500 with him, right? Your goal with your backup quarterback is always, if we have to play four games with them, can we go 2-2? And I think they feel they can do that with Bagent. And then QB3, Case Keenum, they view as like, you know, quasi quarterbacks coach. And so to me, like, they have the room construction as they want it, and it would take like a actually substantial offer for them to move off of Bagent.
$3.5 million quasi coach is interesting to me, but you got to remember, Caleb Williams never had a veteran quarterback around him his first couple seasons. It's not what he had. He didn't have it. So Case Keenum comes in. He's like, hey, bro, I've been around the block. I've been around some teams. Here's how you're supposed to do. Here's a couple little tips, a couple little tricks of the trade. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. And so I look at this team and I look at what they're doing. Listen, I'm here for Tyson Bagent. I'm here for the backup quarterback, TB. But I also think that Bears have never been in a position where they've been able to trade away their backup quarterback for anything. Damn, the Bears haven't even had a quarterback, let alone a backup quarterback, right? So this is uncharted territory for the Chicago Bears. So, I mean, if you got a guy, what are they giving? I don't know. Somebody tell me. He's on the market. People are calling, but what are they offering? And then I could give you more of my opinion. If it is a fourth round pick, I don't know. No. Fourth round pick, I don't know. Maybe.
I might do it.
Yeah, fourth round pick is, I mean, you know.
Hey, man.
Fourth round pick is Tyson. Fourth round pick, you can get yourself a Tory Taylor.
You can get yourself a Jeremy Langford.
You know, he might go Tory Taylor again. You know, you never know.
You can could get a major right.
Could get a major right. You could definitely get a major right. Could get another Velus Jones. Don't even got to go to the third round. You go to the fourth. Anyway, my point is, you can save dollars. That to me is the most important part. Like, what you get in return, sure, you want one of those picks that you could have had that was a compensatory pick, but you would love something else. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here, 104.3 The Score. Going all the way to 5 o'clock when I get to hand it off to Dustin Rhodes, the pregame show. And then after that, Mully and Hall take over. And boy, do they got a show for you. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Brad Biggs. Biggs time. Going to be chatting to all free agents that the Bears have signed and who else potentially could be coming up to Hallis Hall. Coach Wonstadt gets to jump on 8:25 with Mully and Hall. I'm really interested to hear what he has to say. I'll be listening back to that on the Odyssey app, because it's one thing, like, he's also good friends with Jimmy Johnson, so he has the GM kind of like in his head. So he's got the coach stuff, the GM thing. So I like to hear his take on where the Bears are headed. So 8:25, Coach Wonstadt joins. Mike Florio, you know, he has his finger on the pulse of the NFL, especially in the midst of free agency. So he'll be on at 9 o'clock with the guys. And then Bruce Levine jumps on at 9:25 to talk a little baseball, World Baseball Classic. Of course, some Cubs, some Sox. They ended up winning as well. So going back to this Ben Solak, I mean, obviously he's talking about everything the Bears do. He did a great job. It was a great interview. You can listen to the whole thing on the Odyssey app. But he talked about a position that a lot of people aren't mentioning when it comes to the Chicago Bears team, and it's a potential free agent wide receiver options for the Bears. Of course, Alamide Zaccheaus moved on to the Atlanta Falcons. Bears trade away DJ Moore. And you could go young, but there's a lot of wide receivers that'll want to play with Caleb Williams.
It's very tricky for me because with Rome Odunze and Luther Burden as like the clear wide receiver one, wide receiver two, I would say for an average team, you have to get some size at this position here. You have to get a guy who's a little bit bigger and can win, you know, the catch point over the intermediate middle and, you know, can be a factor as a blocker. Like, you need that body type. Rome's, though, is a good pound for pound blocker, but in general, like, you know, let's get a little bit more size here. But then you think about the way that Ben wants to cycle tight ends into the formation, the way he wants to be able to put multiple backs on the field. And it's like, okay, like, how desperately do you need your wide receiver three to actually have that size when you're going to be putting Kmet on the field and you're going to be putting Colson Loveland, who's unbelievable on the field? Like, they're, you could probably get away with it. And so Juwan Jennings, to me, is the name I keep going back to. These teams that want to run the football and involve the wide receiver in the blocking game, like, they are going to value Juwan Jennings. Noah Brown out of Washington is a much more lower-tier option who's good for that. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine from the Dolphins now is another good option for that. That, to me, is the body type I would go for. Other than that, like, if you're not getting a guy with substantive blocking value, I kind of think you're good at wide receiver just because of how much 12 personnel you're going to want to live in. And because Ben's always going to kind of rotate wide receiver three, wide receiver four, and wide receiver five, I don't think you have to spend big money at that spot. I think you can go for draft prospects, continue to add speed, and be fine if you want to do it that way.
Ben Solak talking about, you know, Bears wide receiver room. And if you're not going to get a big body that's going to block, you know, think, you know, some of the bigger names, Equanimeous St. Brown, that was a guy that was brought in for a particular reason, you know, guys like that. But again, there's going to be people that want to catch the ball from Caleb Williams and that feel like, especially with DJ Moore gone, there are going to be wide receivers that are saying to themselves, Rome Odunze? No shade at Rome Odunze. I think Rome, you know me, I'd love Rome Odunze. But other receivers are going to be like, Rome Odunze? Luther Burden? No. I'm a proven veteran in this league. I can go on that team and I can make a difference. Think about a guy like Davante Adams on the Rams. And he's like, Puka Nacua? It's like, no. I'm going to come to this team. He don't care, right? Think about him. Puka Nacua is one of the best wide receivers in the league. Davante Adams is like, I don't care. I'm going to come to this team and I am Davante Adams. I am hands. They will throw me the ball.
Keenan Allen last year or 2 years ago.
That's my point. So the Bears are going to find themselves with somebody like that. A disgruntled AJ Brown.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I
see what you're saying. That type of player, though, right?
That kind of situation.
Yeah, I've seen names like Greg Dortch. Maybe that's not as enticing,
exactly.
Right?
There's going to be situations where there's going to be veteran wide receivers that are going to want to play with Caleb Williams, and he's going to be waiting there with open arms, as is. And they're going to want to play under the Ben Johnson offense. Like, the Bears are going to get lucky.
That might be the bigger draw, honestly.
Of course it is. They're going to get lucky in that situation. And I think, you know, that's where the Bears are going to end up winning in those moments. Defensively, they're not there yet because they don't have necessarily an anchor, or, you know, the offense isn't necessarily buttoned up to the point where you can then just bring in a defensive player that will want to improve the team. But offensively, you are there. You are there. And if you could take some pressure off of Caleb Williams by being a pass catcher, a veteran pass catcher at that, and not a diva veteran, right? Because you saw that didn't work out with DJ Moore. It didn't work out with Keenan Allen. Both of them gone. You need, like, the veteran that's like, go ahead, young fella. Do your thing. You're the man. And that hypes them up. Caleb Williams is the best quarterback I've played with in this league. You know, to give him hype like that. Somebody like that will be interesting for them. All right, 312-644-6767. You heard a lot about free agency, a lot about the newest members, and, of course, where those holes that need to be plugged, where the talent should be coming from. But what do you think? I want to know what you think about the free agents that the Bears have gotten so far. What's your best addition in your mind? And, of course, there's still holes to be plugged. I want to know what you think the Bears should be doing at 25. 312-644-6767. Your call's on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 104.3 The Score.
Oh, Murray keeps it. Murray being chased by Witherspoon. Close to Wilson. Off target to Kobe Bryant. And there goes Kobe Bryant. With a house call for Seattle. And a Marshawn Lynch homage.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
That's right, hanging out with you all the way till 5 o'clock. That's when Dustin Rhodes comes in with the pregame show. Mully and Hogg got the greats and the goods for you. Brad Biggs at 7. Wani at 8:25, Mike Florio at 9 o'clock, Bruce Levine at 9:25. Yes, it is that type of show. And of course, they're going to be talking about free agency, everything that happened yesterday, and of course, what is to come for the Chicago Bears. You heard the Kobe Bryant cut right there, the newest addition to the safety room for the Chicago Bears. And now, you know, when you're looking at their draft picks, it makes you think, you know, is safety as much as a priority as you thought? Probably still. Bears have, of course, the 25th pick in the draft, 2 second-round picks, third-round pick, 4th from the Rams, their own 5th, their own 7th, and a 7th from the Eagles via the Browns. Now, of course, their original 4th-round pick was traded for Joe Tooney. And then their 2026 6th-round pick, remember Joe Tryon Shoyinka? They traded that for them. So, and then if you need to be reminded, they did not get compensatory draft picks for Ian Cunningham. So that sucks. So 25, 57, 89. That's what the Bears got and as their first three. Should be some difference makers right there. That is for sure. But right now we're taking your thoughts. 312-644-6767. Bears got a lot of free agents on that first day of tampering. I'm sure still more to go. But let's go out to Darren. Darren, when you're looking at this Bears team, do you feel like they got better?
I do. It remains to be seen whether or not they're getting any better. But they did make some shrewd moves, I think. Some not-so-obvious moves, but I think these linebacker acquisitions and what they've done to kind of bring someone in to compete for that center job as well, with you know reasonable money, they've had to get rid of some players that they really liked, you know, I'm not sure how much they like DJ Moore. They did trade him, but yeah.
Paid him too.
He was a guy. He
paid
was a guy too, that then. I was sorry to see go because we had some big moments with him.
Mm-hmm. And I think the Bears did right by him, right? I think ultimately they gave him money, a great extension, and then they let him get paid by somebody else. That's like a win-win for everybody in those moves.
I agree. As a fan, I kind of like DJ.
I was the number one person that said don't trade DJ. I thought the Bears needed him. I think they're going to miss him sorely, and I think that you'll see that when it comes, like when somebody gets injured on the team, and you know all of a sudden you're a receiver short. It's like oh damn, and you don't have nobody that's that good. Either way, it doesn't even hear there. What I want to say to Darren is about you know you mentioned the free agent moves specifically at the linebacker position for the Bears. Isn't it interesting to see Ryan Poles now a couple years into the job, right? You're first year on the job, the first time you sign a free agent or make a trade, it's your first time ever doing it, right? So you're learning the intricacies of it. You've been around it, but you haven't done it yourself. And so now we're seeing a seasoned Ryan Poles. And everybody's always saying, Darren, let him cook. Well, how does it look when the cook got his own little seasoning on himself? And I think that's what we're seeing here, a different Ryan Poles.
Well, I agree. I'm a big believer in experience. Experience really makes a difference. You know, the only way to get wisdom is through experience. So we have to give him some time. And I agree. He has gotten more shrewd, it seems to me.
Yes.
You know, you can't learn how to, you know, roast a chicken your first time. It takes a little time, you know, you adjust the timing.
Steak in the broiler. How about we go, Darren, how about we go with steak in the broiler? Because I think that's a good
one.
You know what I mean?
Because
everybody can put a steak in a broiler, but you know what it is. Every broiler is different, and you got to burn, not burn a steak, but you got to cook a steak poorly one time.
Hey, you know, the distance from the burners, how many burners
are you know what I'm talking about.
You're using, it all makes a difference. Do you turn it over during the boiling process, or do you let it roll?
Look at that. And here's another one, and I've dealt with this one. You know, if I'm going 8 minutes on one side, I'm only going 7 on the other. I'm not doing the whole 8 and 8, which is what people would tell you to do, but not me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we all have our own methods. And if it works for you, then, you know, there's no argument.
Exactly. And Ryan Poles has learned that, too. Right. That's what we're getting at, Darren, you and I.
Yes.
Is that Ryan Poles has learned how to cook the steak. And now we're getting a beautiful medium rare with the crust on the outside Right, that's what we're getting in the first day of free agency.
Well,
I think,
you know, that's okay. I'll go with you. That's what it looks like, but we gotta taste it. Okay, that's what it looks like, but we gotta taste it, and we won't be tasting it until we put the ball in the ground. True. Between the hash marks and start making some dirt.
Darren, because you gotta let it rest before you cut it. Ah, see, I'm here with you. I'm here. You can't cut it too soon. You gotta, you know.
You keep coming in the back door on those things. I mean,
it's my favorite. All right,
you're getting, you're coming in. I do believe that that they're doing some things that you can, you know, I think I can get behind. I'm not gonna you know, be crying in my beer that we, you know, this or that. You know, I think that the Drew Dolman thing is really disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe disappointing is not the right word, but it's certainly a bit frustrating. And shocking.
Disappointing is the right word for me. I'm just so disappointed. I thought this guy, you know, he's a young guy. I thought we were going to have this guy till he was 30 something, and he was such a good player. And yeah. To see him go,
yeah, Pro Bowler
was you know, was tough. But I can understand it. You know, the game, it can do things to you that not everybody is comfortable yeah. with and or willing. His father was a player, as we all know, and so he got some wisdom from his dad, and maybe he took his advice at some point, because he's already made himself a nice he's a winner at the bank already.
Oh yeah, making as much money as he did, went to Stanford. He's a smart dude, so you know, I'm sure he's gonna double triple that money, as he should. And I think he'll do it fast. That's the most thing about it. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Darren. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you all the way till 5 o'clock. Of course, that's when Dustin Rhodes takes over for the pregame show. And Mully and Haw, they got you covered. Brad Biggs at 7. Coach Wonstadt, 8:25. Mike Florio at 9. Bruce Levine, 9:25. Talking to me. I got to be honest. I don't think I've ever said this in my life. I cannot wait for baseball to start. I don't think I've ever said that in my entire life. And I love baseball. I've never been like, damn, I can't wait for the season to start. You know, I'm like, this is like my time off. I get to do other things. I'm worried about other stuff. But I am so ready. I'm happy about both teams. I'm genuinely excited about the Cubs and, you know, watching their journey for 2026. And my White Sox, I'm equally as excited. I'm more excited about the White Sox, obviously, because that's my team. But I'm excited about them because they got a lot of young guys. And I'm like, is this for real? Are these young guys good? Or, like, is Munetaka going to hit 30 home runs? I don't know. Is Noah Schultz going to finally come up? I don't know. Is Hagen Smith going to be here? I don't know. But I'm curious. Is Eric Fetty going to get us some more prospects this year? I don't know. But I'm excited about it. I think that's the part that I'm trying to say, is that for the first time in a while, I'm really excited about this season. Cubs obviously should make a good run. That'll make the city fun. City's always a better place when the Cubs are winning. And if the Sox can have like a 10-game leap and put themselves in a position to be good in the next couple of years, I'd love that. But let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Bernie out in Northwest Indiana. Bernie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gabe, another week. You know, here you are again, you know?
You never know when you're going to hear me. Maybe a Monday, maybe a Tuesday, maybe a Friday.
I guess. You know, I wish, why don't you just do this all week long?
Because I'd die, Bernie. I would literally die. I would just peel over and die.
Les was 70 years old, man. He did it as long as I can remember.
True,
know?
True. I don't know if Les, did Les have a six-month-old when he was... I get home at 5 o'clock, Bernie, and my kids are awake. I got to get zero sleep. It's just what it is. But you know what? It's neither here nor there. I'm happy to be here in the present, especially talking to you.
That's good. You know, I think, you're talking about Ryan Poles, and, you know, I think that, you know, they need to start drafting, you know, like, when was the last time we drafted a linebacker that could play football?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, all our linebackers are free agents. All our safeties are free agents. You know, I mean, our defensive linemen, I mean, they draft them and, you know, they're no good. I mean, and they're high-round picks. It's not like they're, you know, 5th and 6th round picks. I mean, some of these defensive linemen that they've drafted, they're their third and fourth round picks. I mean, and they're really, you know, not any good.
No, of course. I mean, listen, Bernie, I think what we got to remember, right, just to be fair to the Chicago Bears, is that in Ryan Poles' first few seasons, his first season, the first two picks were defensive players, right? You saw Jaquan Brisker. You mentioned not drafting safeties, but he drafted Jaquan Brisker, right? But after that, he was tasked with improving the offense in those early rounds, whether it was via the quarterback position, wide receiver, Darnell Wright, offensive tackle. So he's had to address the offense because that was really what he was trying to change completely on this team. And so I think now, right, where the Bears are at in its current iteration is they have the luxury of taking best available in their 20s. And so that might be, Bernie, it might be a linebacker, right? It might be a defensive end. But remember, the Bears haven't drafted a first-round linebacker since Roquan Smith. They haven't drafted a first-round defensive end since, I'd have to look that up. But it's been a while since they've done that. So I think we got to give them grace that now they're in a position to actually do that. And then we get to judge it for what it is. We know what you've done in the second round with defenders, and you've done a great job at that, and offensive guys as well, whether it's Luther Burden, Aja Tripillo, or, you know, Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon, as I mentioned. But I mean, now we get to see what you do in the first round, right, with top-tier talent. What does your board look like when you're looking at those guys? And I think that's going to be interesting to see. Bernie?
They didn't give up the two first-round picks for Max Crosby.
Did you want them to do that?
No, not at all. You know, I mean, look how it worked out. Two first-round picks for Jay Cutler. Two first-round picks for Khalil Mack.
That's a great point.
How many Super Bowls did we win?
That's a great point.
You know?
It's a great point.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah. You know?
You don't get nothing because what you do, you're selling off your future for 1 year, 2 years. That's it, you know?
Yeah, well, then the hope there is that the 25th pick in the draft ends up being a difference maker. And that will remain to be seen. Hey, Bernie, I appreciate you calling in as always, man. Thanks for – I know you never know what day I'm going to be on, Bernie, but it is Mondays
next
and Fridays.
Next week. All right.
All right, talk to you later. 312-644-6767. Going back out to the phone lines. We got Richard. Richard, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Gabe?
Hanging in there, man. All right, so talk to me.
Good.
About these compensatory picks, because, you know, I'm pissed. You're going to rile me up, Richard, already, just so you know.
me too. You know, when you think about what is a lateral move, okay, is he getting similar pay? Probably not. Is his status or job title changed? Of course it's changed. Is the responsibility different? So I just don't see how we don't get those picks.
It's unbelievable, and it's malpractice. It is... You know, you can't put a rule in place and then try to, I don't know, because it just everyone seems to be on the side. Even Caleb Williams tweeted about it. Did you see that?
No, I didn't catch that.
Oh, my God. He tweeted Matt Ryan saying with his own words what Ian Cunningham's role would be. He tweeted it out. Caleb Williams did.
So, I mean, what's the reasoning by the NFL? Do they give a reasoning?
Well, I think ultimately what they're saying is that, you know, the decision maker, the ultimate decision maker is going to be Matt Ryan and not Ian Cunningham. And so that, to me, is what my biggest takeaway was. And so, therefore, they're calling it a lateral move in that you'll be operating under someone and not ahead of them.
Okay.
It's terrible. It's a crappy rule.
Oh, I know.
It's a crappy ruling. You know, I think to me, Richard, the biggest, you know, slap in the face is that, you know, these are guys that, you know, these are potential picks that could have been starters on the Bears team. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really what it is. It's like these, you're missing out on starters, not just role players, but starters. And when guys like Drew Dahlman retire and you have to make cap cuts for Tremaine Edmonds, and such, it's like those picks become that much more valuable.
Of course. And you know, I don't even look at it as the picks. I look at it as you know, you put this in there for a reason, for developing minority talent, right? And now it's gone.
Right.
So what's the point, right?
It's ridiculous.
Well,
So yeah, the league. Yeah, it's ridiculous and it's extremely frustrating. You know, if the Bears had qualified under that diversity development rule, then they would have got third round picks. You know, I thought it was 2 in 1 year, but it's in 2026 and then in 2027. I mean, imagine that. Imagine trading any player, like any player, right? Let's say we would have traded Tremaine Edmonds when he was looking for a trade partner. And then all of a sudden they said, yeah, we're going to give you 2 third-round picks for Tremaine Edmonds. You'd be like, oh my God. I cannot believe the Bears have 2 third-round picks. And so the league's reasoning again is that the Falcons lists Matt Ryan as its primary football executive. So Cunningham's move, this is according to NFL.com, was not treated as the kind of qualifying top decision maker promotion that triggers the picks. That is bull.
I know.
And you
can
fill in the rest of the word.
I know. So, well, thank you, Gabe. And you have a wonderful evening.
No problem.
Love listening to you. And your daughters sound great.
Oh, they're amazing. They'll be doing radio pretty soon.
I have much older daughters.
How old are your daughters?
Same thing. So I have one 18. She has special needs. Uh-huh. And then I've got a 17-year-old as well.
Oh, 2 daughters. Oh.
Yeah.
Are they besties?
Two daughters and a son.
Oh, how old is the son?
So the son's 12.
Okay, so you have the gap there, the five-year gap, Richard. as a dad of three, I have a 5-year gap too. That's why, right? I have a 5-year gap between my oldest and my youngest. But even I'm like, okay, so this is a good one. How has the son, I know it's different because it's boys and girls, but how has the son, you know, obviously I know when they were younger, they were all kind of playing together because that's how mine are right now. My oldest loves my baby. But when was the year that kind of broke off? Give me that.
I would say probably when high school.
So when the girls got into high school, then it kind of.
That's when it started to break. Because other than that, and they still connect.
Yeah.
Like, they still connect.
Okay, here's another one I got for you.
I think high school was. Oh, go ahead.
Here's another one I got for you. So when the two were in high school, does the 12-year-old, the boy, is that. How does that. Because, you know, you had the 17 and the 18-year-old playing together. You know what I'm saying? So, and then you got the 12-year-old by yourself. And I'm concerned about that, too, because I have the 5-year gap. So were you now focused on the 12-year-old? They kind of kept themselves busy? Or is that the baby of the house? Is that one going to be there till they're 30?
I think it was kind of mom with the girls and me with the boy.
Ah.
Because the sports they did, the dance they did, I think we kind of separated. And then we kind of cross over to make sure that, you know, everybody, we're seeing everybody's, whether it's violin or sports or whatever it may be. So.
I love it. Okay, all right. Thanks for that. Hey, I need pro tips, Richard. So I'm glad you're telling me all this stuff right now. But I appreciate it, all right?
Thanks, Shane.
Of course. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 104.3 The Score. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We got Dee Dee out to talk about some. Double D, my bad. To talk about some Bears and some Bulls. Talk to me, man. What's on your mind?
Hello, sir. I just want to say good morning / good evening. Thank you kindly for having me on.
Of course. My night owl in the building. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
I blew up, bro. You was looking for it, you know. So I mean,
I was.
Anyway, whatever. Obviously, I'm excited about the new Bears signings. But at the same time, like, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, it's a lot of hype. And frankly, Brian Poles has not been particularly great at some of his free agent signings. I mean, last year, yeah, I got it. But I think that had a lot to do with Ben Johnson's mindset. So do you think that we're heading in the right direction? Or, I mean, like, on paper, it looks fantastic. But, I mean, do you think we're going to see the fruition?
Yeah, I think there's a directive here, right, Didi? And it is that the Bears realized that their defense was not as good as it needed to be. And I think, right, I think everybody could see that. And but you had guys that you liked, but you felt like you can get more productivity out of, right? So you like Kevin Byer. You love the fact that he had a ton of interceptions. But was he impacting winning the way that you wanted him to? You like Tremaine Edmonds, but was he impacting winning the way that you wanted him to and was a difference maker? So I think when you're asking me, what do I think they made the necessary upgrades at those positions. When you looked at when you're watching the Super Bowl, when you're looking at the Patriots and you were looking at Seattle, those defenses were way better than the Chicago Bears. And we think that the Bears defense is good. So how do you fix that gap, right? How do you shorten that gap? Well, you got to make upgrades. And as Ryan Poles was saying, Didi, it sucks because you grow a bond with guys once you start winning, just like they did with Tremaine and Kevin. But sometimes you got to move on from them, right? Jaquan Brisker also. But sometimes you got to move off from them because they're good, but you need to be a little bit better. And I think that's what they're doing right now.
Increased altitude, so to speak.
Exactly.
Secondarily, so here's my question. So the Bulls basically decimated their entire team, correct?
True.
And I've seen their core, like basically their only two decent, well, better than average players.
Giddy and Modest.
Back. Yes, correct. I expect them to probably be hurt or not really playing for the rest of the year. Who do you think are the guys that we got that we keep?
It's a great question. I think I was talking about this yesterday on the Chicago Lead. Sorry, I was drinking some water. And, you know, the Bulls were given four guards, right? Anthony Simons, Jaden Ivey, Rob Dillingham, and Colin Sexton. And the hope was that one of them could stick around. And I think quickly it became obvious that Anthony Simons was the guy who was a bucket and that, you know, he proved his point. You don't need him to play anymore. You're the best of the four. But then with everybody else, you know, Rob Dillingham, he's a little too erratic for me. He's like all over the place. He's like, might hit a three-pointer, might hit a layup, might make a nice pass, might turn the ball over, might throw it out of bounds, might, you know, just do something crazy. So I don't necessarily like that kind of basketball. It's too unpredictable. Colin Sexton, on the other hand, not just because he hit 7 three-pointers the other day or because he put up 28 points, but when you're talking about having depth on a team and creating a new culture where there are standards and, like, if Colin Sexton is the floor of the Chicago Bulls, that's great. And so keeping him around to be the floor. Now, follow me here. You got guys like Dalen Terry that you traded, Julian Phillips, like those second tier, like not even those third tier guys that you got the tail end of your bench. They need to look at Colin Sexton and be like, damn, I am not going to be in the league. I'm not going to be on this roster unless I'm better than Colin Sexton. And because Colin Sexton is the ninth best player or eighth best player on this team. And so if I'm not better than Colin Sexton, like I need to step my game up. And because Colin Sexton's capable of going in a game and hitting 7 threes. Colin Sexton's capable of putting 28 points on the board. Colin Sexton is capable of affecting the game and affecting winning. So I think he's, when you ask me who do you think they'll keep, I think it's Colin Sexton because he exemplifies that, right? And I think that's what the Bulls need. They didn't have enough of that. They had too many Patrick Williams and not enough Colin Sextons, guys that love the game and want to play. You know what I'm saying? Double D?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Yeah, I'm watching the games and I'm trying to be like, whoa.
Yeah. Who's your favorite player? Who's your favorite player out of those guys?
Like who's really doing anything? You had a couple of like people like, shoot, when Io was in, it was like you knew what was going to go down, right now. You know? And now it's like,
It is like, that's what it feels like with this team, but I appreciate you giving me a couple minutes to talk some Bulls. Yeah, it's a guilty pleasure of mine. All right, phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you, of course, until 5 o'clock when Dustin Rhodes takes over. Mully and Hall come on after that at 5:30. Of course, they got their pick 6 at 6, but they got some good guests as well. Brad Biggs jumping on at 7. Coach wants that at 8:25. Mike Florio jumps on at 9, and then Bruce Levine at 9:25. But for the next hour, I get to talk to you. A lot of movement in free agency across the NFL. Bears certainly active as well, plugging some holes up. What was your favorite signing? 312-644-6767. And where do you think the Bears need to go next? Your call's on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 104.3 The Score.